ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Okay, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 14, Text 8. Tatte anukampam susamikshamano bhunjane vatmakritam vipakam hidvag vapubhir tavitudhan namaste जीवेतयो मुक्तिपदे सदाय भा। We can repeat. Anybody? ते अनुकंपां सुसमीक्षमानो भुञ्जाने वात्मकृतं विपाकम् तद्वाग्वपुर्भिर्विदधन्नमस्ते जीवेतयो मुक्तिपदे सदाय भा। प्रभु आत्मकृतं विपाकम् गायब हो गए। ते अनुकंपां भुञ्जाने वात्मकृतं विपाकम् विद्वाग्वपुर्भिर्विदधन् नमस्ते जीवेतयो मुक्तिपदे सदा। माताजी Okay, what word for translation? Purport by Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki tat, therefore, te, oh, I lost it. Te, de,
is it with a D or a T?
T, te. Yeah, te, yeah, te. Te, it's the.
Okay.
Is it recording also? The recording is continuing. Anukampam. Compassion. Now it's going. Okay. Susamikshamanaha. Earnestly hoping for. Bhunjanaha. Enduring. Eva. Certainly. Atmakritam. Done by himself. Vipakam, the fruitive results. Hrit, with his heart. Vak, words. Vapurbhir, and body. Vidhan, offering. Namaha, obeisances. Te, unto you. Jiveta, lives. Yaha, anyone who mukti pade to the position of liberation, saha, he Dayabhag, the rightful heir. Translation. My dear Lord, one who earnestly waits for you to bestow your causeless mercy upon him, all the while patiently suffering the reactions of his past misdeeds and offering you respectful obeisances with his heart, words and body, is surely eligible for liberation, for it has become his rightful claim. Purport. Srila Sridhar Swami explains in his commentary that just as a legitimate son has to simply remain alive to gain an inheritance from his father, one who simply remains alive in Krishna consciousness following the relative principles of Bhakti Yoga automatically becomes eligible to receive the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, he will be promoted to the kingdom of God. The word Susamikshaman indicates that a devotee earnestly awaits the mercy of the Supreme Lord, even while suffering the painful effects of previous sinful activities. Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that a devotee who fully surrenders unto him is no longer liable to suffer reactions of his previous karma. However, because in his mind, a devotee may still maintain the remnants of his previous sinful mentality, the Lord removes the last vestiges of the enjoying spirit by giving his devotee punishments that may sometimes resemble sinful reactions. The purpose of entire creation of God is to rectify the living entity's tendency to enjoy without the Lord, and therefore the particular punishment given for a sinful activity is specifically designed to curtail the mentality that produced the activity. Although a devotee has surrendered to the Lord's devotional service, until he is completely perfected in Krishna consciousness, he may maintain a slight inclination to enjoy the false happiness of this world. The Lord therefore creates a particular situation to eradicate his remaining enjoying spirit. This unhappiness suffered by a sincere devotee is not technically a karmic reaction. It is rather Lord's special mercy for inducing his devotee to completely let go of the material world and return home back to back Godhead. Sincere devotee therefore earnestly desires to go back to the Lord's abode. Therefore he willingly accepts the Lord's merciful punishment, continues offering respects and obeisances to the Lord with his heart, words and body. Such a bona fide servant of the Lord, considering all hardships a small price to pay for gaining the personal association of Lord, certainly becomes a legitimate son of God, as indicated here by the words Dayabhag. Just as one cannot approach the sun without becoming fire, one cannot approach the Supreme Pure Lord Krishna without undergoing a rigid purificatory process, which may appear like suffering, but which in fact is a curative treatment administered by the personal hand of the Lord. Excellent purport, yeah. An excellent verse.
One of those famous verses.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. So, yeah, this is excellent and...
Congratulations.
For this. So, this... I chose the verse, so that's why.
Oh, you chose it specifically.
Yeah.
Oh, we didn't just follow this verse?
No.
Oh, okay.
Chose.
Anyway.
So this offered the Lord Brahma to Krishna. And in this verse, Lord Brahma is taking the opportunity to glorify devotional service and the mercy of Lord. So the life of devotee is glorification. That's what is devotee's life. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, let the bee of my heart always glorify your qualities and pastimes. And somebody asked Prabhupada, what is good chanting? How do we chant good? Prabhupada said many things many times, but once Prabhupada told that the sign of good chanting is that you like to chant more. That's one thing. Another place Prabhupada told that the sign of good chanting is that you will like to hear the glories of the Lord. Your ears will be hungry to hear the glories of Lord. That's a sign of good chanting. Sanatan Goswami, one of his book, Krishna Leela Stav, almost at the end, he mentions that, O my Lord, by your mercy, I can chant holy names. And by your mercy, please make me remember yourself while I am chanting your holy names. So, Kirtana Prabhave Smarana Hobe. That's the idea. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, when we do chanting, the effect should be, we should remember him while chanting. We can find Krishna in his holy name and through his holy name. So, a devotee, Bhishma Pitamah, it is said in Mahabharata, he was 24 hours, he was offering flowers to Krishna within his heart. And what kind of flowers? Those flowers were glorification of Krishna. Externally he was offering arrows, internally he was offering flowers.
Bhishma Dev?
Bhishma Dev, yeah. So Krishna accepted both. Okay, I welcome your arrows. And because he could see in his heart, I also welcome your flowers. So, this is what Brahmaji is taking opportunity to glorify mercy of the Lord. Why? Because mercy is what is devotional service. That's all. Vallabhacharya, the name of his sect is Pushti Marg, the path of grace. Devotion is nothing but mercy. That's all. So Brahmaji explaining what is mercy. Now let us understand what is mercy of Lord. So this is Damodar Leela. This is the month of Damodar month. And that pastime is connected to this verse. Exactly to this verse. So there are three teachings from Damodar Leela. Sanatan Goswami, he mentions in his commentary. Three primary teachings. The first teaching is Daya Prapyatvam. Krishna is attained only through his mercy. There is no other reason, no other cause. Tatte anukampam. So, yeah, Krishna is attained through his mercy. That's why there is a verse in Upanishads, Prabhupada so many times quotes, Anayam atma prabhachane na labhyo. Na bhau na na shrute na va. Yameva esha vinite tena labhyata seva esham tanum swam. That verse says, Krishna is not attained by your efforts, only through his mercy. And we also read that verse, Nitya siddh Krishna prem sadhe kabuna hoye, shravan adi shuk chitte swayam utaye. So, a devotee knows that Krishna is attained through his mercy, and that is what happens when Yashodama is running after Krishna. She can't catch Krishna. When Krishna decides that I should be caught by her, only then she is able to catch Krishna. So the idea is, when Krishna wants to be controlled by his devotee, only then devotee can control him. And that is the second teaching of Damodar Leela. That is Prem Vashyata. Krishna is not satisfied by giving mercy. Krishna also wants to get satisfied, isn't it? He's a supreme enjoyer. He wants to enjoy. His enjoyment is irresistible. He doesn't know how to control his senses, first of all. Krishna. He doesn't control his senses. We have to control our senses. That's a problem. For him, he just simply wants to enjoy. Whatever he desires, he wants to fulfill. That's all. Finish. No questions of control. Perhaps Krishna doesn't know what's renunciation. Maybe in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's avatar, he exhibited renunciation. Yeah, in Chaitanya, that's the only pastime he exhibits renunciation as a sannyasi. But in all other pastimes, at least as Krishna, he's enjoying. So he is not satisfied. He's not so much happy by giving mercy to his devotees. So he comes to next platform. And now, Prem Vashyata, he wants to be controlled by love. That's what he wants. He's not satisfied by controlling his devotees. And he wants to be controlled. Controlled by love. That is why Vallabhacharya says in his commentaries, some people say the king of Vrindavan is Krishna. Others say that the queen of Vrindavan is Radha. But Vallabhacharya says, as far as I understand, the king and the queen in Vrindavan, both are controlled by love. He is a king. Love is a king. And that's why, if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna, when Krishna is stopping Radharani, gopis, from stealing the butter, so what does Radharani say? She says, I'll complain to Kamsa. You know. And then Krishna says, well, I'll complain to the king of Vrindavan, that is Anangadev, Kamdev. Love is a king. That's what you have to understand. Love is the Niyamaka. That word is used, Niyamak. Niyamak means, he is the controller of Vrindavan. And that's why Kam Gayatri is there. We chant Kam Gayatri, Brahmanical initiation. And in Kam Gayatri, we are glorifying the king of Vrindavan, which is love. So Krishna then wants to be controlled by love and not by his... Generally we say Krishna wants to be controlled by devotees, but Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur writes, we can say that, but technically it's not correct because Krishna is not controlled by any living entity. Got my point? Technically it's not correct. So if you want to qualify it, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur says he's not controlled by his love, by his devotees, by any living entity. He's controlled by the love within the heart of the devotees. Prabhupada mentions in the purport, one of his purport. But still Krishna is not happy. He wants to enjoy more. So what he does, the third thing which he does is, he's not satisfied by giving mercy to his devotees. He's not just satisfied by being controlled by love. He wants to experience the happiness when a devotee, when he is controlled by the love. That's the idea. And that is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took birth. He took his pastimes. He did his pastimes. That bliss he wants to feel. That bliss of giving love and experiencing love. That bliss he wants to experience. And that's the third teachings of the pastimes of Damodar Leela. So when Yashoda Ma binds Krishna, that is giving mercy. When Krishna is bound by Yashoda Ma, that is being controlled by love. And when Yashoda Ma and Krishna, both when Krishna is bound, Yashoda Ma goes away, and Krishna is bound in the ropes, it is said he is experiencing fear, but in that fear he is experiencing bliss. That's the idea. His fear is bliss. So that's about Krishna. So that is mercy of Krishna. That is mercy of Krishna. We can understand all these things by mercy of Krishna. It's impossible to understand. But the point here is, Krishna gives mercy, but the department of distributing his mercy is given to his devotees. He bestows mercy on those who comes to him, but he gives the department of distributing that mercy to all, to his devotees. And how do we know that? In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes we can understand clearly. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Puri, Jagannath Puri, he sent Nityanand Prabhu back to Bengal. He told Nitai, you go to Bengal and preach. Nityanand Prabhu asked Mahaprabhu, why don't you come there? You can do the same, you can do better than me. And that's obvious. Mahaprabhu told, no, you should go to Mayapur because of three reasons. And the first reason is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Nityanand, you go and you should marry, first of all. And that was real shock for Nityanand Prabhu, because Nityanand Prabhu was avadhut, isn't it? He was avadhut. He's not supposed to marry. He was famous for being mad. Mad personality. But Mahaprabhu told you marry. And you can imagine, you know, when Nityanand Prabhu married, so many people criticized him. So many people, all over Bengal, people were criticizing him. And especially Nityanand Prabhu, he was living in Kharda. You know this? He was living in a place, Kharda, his home place in Bengal. And many, and still if you go to Kharda, you have gone to Mayapur, anybody? And Mayapur, everybody has, have anybody gone to Kharda? And nobody? Oh, there's a place Kharda. He was living there. He has a big palace. And Jahanava Devi, Basuta Devi, his wives, his energies, they were living there. His son Veerchand Prabhu, they were living there. And you know what, if you go there, you will find a crown of Nityan Prabhu. There's a crown of Nityan Prabhu. And there's a jewel he used to put in that turban. And he used to wear jewels. He used to eat pan. And he was looking like lavish, damn rich person. And people used to think, and around him, all his devotees, all his eternal associates, Dhananjay Pandit, Purushottam Acharya, all of them, they were like in rags because they were supposed to be renunciates. So all of them are like in rags, and Nityan Prabhu is walking and fully jeweled and crowned, and people who used to see him, they are mad people, you know, what's happening? The leader, he's complete nonsense. He's a rich, he's a hypocrite, he's jeweled himself and is all his followers, he's trying to exploit them and they are having nothing. Probably he has stolen all the money from them and he's enjoying.
Could you say his name again?
Who?
The name of the personality you described.
Nityananda Prabhu.
Oh, Nityananda Prabhu. Okay.
Probably, yeah. I'm speaking too fast or what? Yeah.
Sorry.
So, yeah. So that's what people were. So many people try to kill Nityananda Prabhu. We have records in Bhakti Ratnakar. Because they couldn't understand what he's doing. They couldn't understand what he's doing. They were thinking he's a hypocrite. But the point is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ordered him to do so. You know why? Why he was doing like that? Why he was appearing crazy? Previously he was a crazy man, and now also he's appearing crazy. Why? Why is that? He married twice. Two females. Not only one. Jahanava, Vasudha. And then he's trying to show off. Why is he doing like this? Is he mad? No. There's a reason for that. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Nityananda, you go to Bengal, and you do this, and there's a reason for that. I cannot do this. I am a sannyasi. If I do such things, then definitely I would destroy religion. But if you do these things, you don't destroy religion because you are avadhut. Avadhut can't do anything. And then Nityananda Prabhu asked, but why should I do like this? Why should I behave like this? Mahaprabhu told one thing. You see, I have preached to everyone in Mayapur, in South India, but I couldn't preach to rich people. They escaped from me. Because I acted as sannyasi, and these rich people, they're proud. They didn't come to me. And that is why your job is to bring rich people to me. And that's why Nityananda Prabhu was behaving, you know, this was well dressed, so that rich people could identify with him, you know, okay, fine, you know. You know, he's a guy, and they used to invite him, he used to preach to them. Rich people do not invite people in rags. They don't care for them. And he's a householder. He can identify, you know. I am also a householder. So like that, that was the idea of Nityananda Prabhu. So that's the idea. God can give mercy, but devotees can distribute that mercy. That's the department of devotees. So that's why Mahaprabhu to ask Nityananda Prabhu to go to Bengal. He was doing his job nicely in spite of so many criticisms. And the second point Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told, Nitai, you go to Vrindavan. You know why? Because I cannot glorify myself. That's the idea. How can he glorify? As Krishna, he could do so in Gita. Because he's playing the part of God. But as Lord Chaitanya, he can't do. Because first of all, it's a prachan avatar. It's a secret pastime, secret avatar. And second, he's playing role of a human, a sannyasi. So it is your job to glorify. And what Nityananda Prabhu was doing in Navdeep? He was not chanting Hare Krishna. You see Bhakti Ratnakar, what he was saying. Bhaja Gaurango, Laha Gaurango, Kaho Gaurangera Namre, Je Jana Gauranga Bole, Sei To Amar Pranre. You see that? He was saying, chant Gauranga's name, serve Gauranga. Anybody who takes the name of my Gauranga, he is dear to me. He was glorifying Lord Chaitanya. He was chanting Hare Krishna, but he was interested in glorifying Lord Chaitanya. He was bringing people to the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya. In fact, if you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, what did Haridas Thakur do? That's surprising because Haridas Thakur is Namacharya. Entire life he chanted Hare Krishna mantra. By the time of leaving his body, what he did? He was in the lab of Mahaprabhu. He just left his beat bag. He saw the face of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he was chanting Gaura, Gaura, Gaura. What is this? What is this? So, the point, he was trying to teach us that if we take shelter of Lord Mahaprabhu, Lord Chaitanya, then it will be easy to chant Hare Krishna mantra. Then otherwise we can't enter the mysteries of the holy name. That was the duty given to Lord Nityananda. So, that's a duty given to Srila Prabhupada. That's what Prabhupada was doing. He was distributing mercy. That's why devotees, Prabhupada is called Krishna Kripa Murti. Devotee is manifestation of the mercy of Lord. Radharani, it is said, Rupa Goswami says, Krishna's body is made of Satchit Anand. Krishna's body is made of bliss. Radha's body is made of mercy. That's Radha. Kripa Murti. She is the molten form of mercy. That's Jesus' mercy in every inch of his body. And that's why Brahma says, Tatte Anukampam. Okay, but the point is, now the question comes. Brahma continues his verse. And there's some problems with this entire explanation. He says, well, a devotee is always glorifying about mercy. But then he uses the word Su Samikshamano. What is this? Su means Shushtu. Su means clearly. Sama means Samyak, fully. And Ikshamano means experience. A devotee at every step fully experiences the mercy of Lord. That's a devotee. Ikshamano. And as he experiences the mercy of Lord, he hopes to attain more. Because he's addicted to that, no? He has a taste of that mercy. So both concepts are there in this word. Samikshamano means hoping for, desiring for, what Prabhupada translates. And why he desires for more mercy? Because he's experiencing mercy. If you take one Coca-Cola, you want more. If you take two, you want three. That's the idea. So, a devotee lives in mercy and he hopes for mercy. That's a devotee. But the question is how? How does a devotee live in mercy? And that's why Brahma continues, Bhunjan evat mirkata vipakam. Brahma uses this word bhunjan. Bhunjan means eating. It also means eating. To eat, bhunjan. So devotee is practically eating and digesting mercy, you can say. His blood is not proteins, minerals, calories. His every atom is infused with the mercy of Lord. That's what a devotee is. That's what a devotee is. Bhunjan evatma krita vipakam. But the question is, how a devotee can perceive mercy always, 24 hours? Brahma says it's easy. Brahma says the point is, a devotee will experience happiness and distress. Because we are not perfect. We have our karmas, sinful reactions. All of us has, I don't know what we did. And we are doing so many offenses and so many things. But the department of our reactions, of our karmas, now is not handled by Maya Devi. Now it's directly in charge of Krishna. So Maya Devi handles our record book to Krishna. Krishna, this is a record of this devotee. Now I am handing over to you. You take care of it. So it's Krishna. Krishna has a record. So Krishna decides what to do. Now the problem Krishna faces is, he has to give us mercy, but he has to purify us also. Without purifying, without we getting purified, we can't, even if he gives mercy, we'll not be able to grasp it. Just like sunlight. If you have sunlight, if you're inside the house, you'll not be able to experience that sunlight. So he has to purify us and he has to give mercy. How does he do that? He uses our reactions to purify us. How? He lets our sinful reactions come along. And by that we experience unhappiness and distress. And devotee, when he's distressed, he sees, he thinks, oh, this distress, Krishna is putting me in distress to purify me. That's what a devotee thinks. Just like Srila Prabhupada. When Prabhupada lost all his factory, all his money, people stole his money in Allahabad. He was in Allahabad. He was like, he had nothing. And Prabhupada was happy. He was happy. Oh, there is one devotee in Bible, John. You know about him? In Old Testament. And that's nice. I read it. And that John, he was such a pure devotee that Saturn, Bible is Saturn, of course, he became envious. And he thought, well, I'm going to test him. So he goes to God and he tells, and he's just roaming around. So God tells Saturn, what are you doing here? Saturn told, my dear Lord, well, I don't think so. John is a pure devotee. So God tells, okay, test him. But mind you, don't kill him. You test him as far as you can, but don't kill him. So, oh yeah, I got confused. Thank you, Job. Yeah, Old Testament. Old Testament. Yeah, fine. Okay, Job. So, you know all of the story. So God tells, test him. So then he goes, Satan goes, and what he does, that Job is sitting in his field, and he puts his house on fire. And then one of his friends comes running, Job, your house is on fire. Tells, no problem, that's okay. It's mercy of Lord. And then he kills his family members. His family, his father, his mother, die. And then his friend comes running, Job, all your relatives are dead. Job tells, no problem. It's mercy of Lord. It's difficult, huh? And then what he does, and then he destroys all his factory and all his job and all his shop. And then one friend comes running, Job, you're finished. Job tells, no problem. And then Saturn, he thinks, my God, I think he's a pure devotee. But then Saturn thinks, every person, people can tolerate losses, but people cannot tolerate disease. When the body is afflicted, then it's very difficult to remember God. By his powers, he makes Job full of sores and leprosy something, and he's like messed up. Everybody is hating him. They don't approach him. He's alone sitting and he's lamenting. But still he thinks, well, that's okay. That's mercy of Lord. And this thing continues and this story ends in some way. So the point is, a devotee can, behind the distress, he sees mercy of Krishna. Prabhupada says he sees the hand of God. Actually, in this, the devotee finds, in distress he finds happiness. That's a devotee. Because he can see the invisible hand of Krishna behind everything, he is so happy. Devotee welcomes distress. Kunti Maharani is welcoming distress, no? Krishna, give me distress. Because when we were happy, you were not with us. And when we were distressed, you were with us. But when we are happy now, we have won the battle, you are leaving us. So I request, please put us in distress so that we can have your association. And in happiness also, devotee can see the mercy of Lord. How? Because when devotee experiences happiness and devotion, he thinks this happiness is a gift of Krishna. This is important to understand because we are not eligible for the bliss we experience in the chanting. We should remember that. We are not eligible. We chant, we do devotion, we experience bliss, but we should not forget that we are not qualified for this bliss. Krishna is giving as a gift to us. Why he is giving us bliss? Because we are qualified? No. To remind us that you are complete nonsense. And by my mercy, I am lifting you up. To remind us, he is giving us bliss. Just like Bhakti Sandha used to say, whenever Bhakti Sandha used to give sannyas to anybody, you know what he used to say? He used to, I am giving you sannyas. You know why? Because you are not qualified for sannyas. To remind you that you have to be sannyasi in your heart. That's why I am giving you this sannyas. Otherwise, if you have a dress, you will always remember, I have to fulfill the responsibility of sannyas. It is not that you are sannyasi, that's why I am giving you sannyas. Similarly, Krishna is giving bliss, not that we deserve that. It is to remind us that you are nothing. It's by my mercy I'm lifting you up. You can't do anything by your efforts. So, because if we think I deserve bliss, we'll get proud. And as soon as we get proud, Krishna will take back his bliss. So that's his gift. It's his gift to help us remember all these things, to help us serve him more. He gives bliss so that we can serve him more. That's the idea. He gives us love so that we can serve him more. If we want love for the sake of love, we don't get love. Simple. If we want love to serve Krishna, Krishna will award love. But Krishna will ask us one question. Okay, fine. You want love to serve me? Good. But I have a question that, can you serve me directly? Can you serve me directly? Yeah. Directly? Can you serve me directly? Even Brahma and Lord Shiva are not able to serve me directly, and you want to serve me? So a devotee tells Krishna, no Krishna, I want love not to serve you, but to serve your devotees. Srimati Radharani, that's the idea. That's what Narottam Das Thakur says. Krishna name gane bhai, Radhika charana paye. Radha name paye Krishna Chandra. If you take the name of Krishna, you attain the mercy of Radha. If you take the name of Radha, you attain the mercy of Krishna. That is Hare Krishna. So, actually when we chant Hare Krishna, the idea is, when we chant Hare Krishna, when we are chanting Hare, we are making Krishna hear Radha's name. When we are chanting Krishna, we are making Radha hear Krishna's name. And that's how they are merciful to us. That is why this is Hare Krishna. This is not only Krishna. There is a science behind both names. As soon as we chant Krishna, we attract mercy of Radha. As soon as you chant Radha, Hare, we attract mercy of Krishna. That is why Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains in his commentary, Jiva Goswami explains in his commentary, the logic behind Hare Krishna. But the point here is, there's another question. Question is, if everything depends on mercy, what about efforts? That's the question. Should we apply efforts or not? And it's a big, big problem in Sri Sampradaya. There are two sects, Vadakalaya and Tinkalaya, Sri Sampradaya. They're fighting each other since ages. One sect, Tinkalaya, says everything depends on mercy, we don't have to put efforts, Krishna will do everything. I think in ISKCON also we have two sections, two. We have. So, somewhat. And another group, they say, no, you have to put efforts, mercy is already there, you have to put efforts to get that mercy. And they are fighting. Loka Pillai, Vedant Deshika. And there was so much chasm between two. There were fights, literal fights. They were fighting on streets in Sri Rangam. They were killing each other. Yeah, this happened. It was such a bad... Even now they hate each other. Tinkalaya don't go to temples of Vedakalaya. Vedakalaya don't go to temples of Tinkalaya. It's such a bad day.
So one says, we don't have to do anything.
Yeah, we don't have to do efforts. It's mercy of Krishna. What your efforts can achieve? What your tiny efforts can do? It's all mercy of Krishna. Other sect says, well, mercy is already there. If you don't do efforts, how do you attain that mercy? So there's a problem. And then came Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he said, my dear brothers, don't fight. I'll give you a solution. The solution is that if you want to attain love, both things are required. Mercy and efforts. You should unite both. Question is how? How? So Mahaprabhu explained, okay, you need to put Krishna is very merciful, of course. But you need to put efforts. There are four reasons for that. I'll tell you four reasons. Not just one, but four. First reason is, why do we want to put efforts to serve him or to attain love if everything is attainable by mercy? Because there's a concept called as sustained reciprocal efforts. This is Vallabha Sampradaya is based on this. A devotee feels so much indebted for the mercy of Lord. That he wants to, he wants to reciprocate. He wants to remove that debt. Yeah, he wants to remove that debt. And he says, Krishna, you have done so much for me. What should I do for you? If a devotee is not putting efforts and is simply saying everything is dependent on the mercy of Lord, this means he is selfish, he is mean. He didn't understand what is devotion.
Yes.
He is mean. So, he is mean, he is selfish. If he doesn't put efforts in serving devotee, if he simply says everything is dependent on the mercy of Lord. It is dependent on mercy of Lord, we know.
Krishna served me.
Krishna served me. That hurts him. That hurts him. That's what Vishwanath Thakur says in Bhagavad Gita. A devotee is happy when he thinks about mercy of Lord. At the same time, he feels sorrow. Because from perspective of Krishna, from our perspective, he is giving mercy. But from the perspective of Krishna, Krishna is serving us. Krishna doesn't think I am giving mercy. He is the humblest of humble. He thinks I am serving my devotees. Isn't it? Just like even ISKCON. Sannyasis, they give blessings. So what sannyasis are supposed to think? I'm blessing them? No, they think I'm serving them. I'm serving my disciples. They don't think I'm blessing them. That's why Prabhupada used to say, these are my students. Prabhupada many times used to say after the lecture, thank you. Isn't it? So many times. Why? Because Prabhupada is thinking. Prabhupada said in his lecture, you devotees, you're helping me to serve my spiritual master. They're not thinking in terms of giving mercy in serving. So from Krishna's perspective, he is serving us. And Vishwanath Thakur says, a devotee knows this. So, foolish people, when they think of mercy, they are only happy. But when a pure devotee is thinking of mercy, he is happy and he is distressed also. That Krishna has to serve me from his perspective. And I don't want to take service from Krishna. So Krishna, I want to do something for you to repay that debt. And that's why he put efforts. And the more he puts efforts to serve him, the more he's indebted. So he's never out of debt. Because the more he wants to serve Krishna, the opportunity to serve him will be provided by Krishna, isn't it? And that opportunity, when Krishna provides his opportunity, that is his mercy. So he gets more indebted. He can never pay his debt. He's indebted. And you know what Krishna says to his devotees? He says to his devotees, my dear devotees, bhunjane bhatmakritam vipakam. Your attitude of repaying my debt and becoming indebted more and more and more and more has made me indebted to you. Your attitude has made me indebted. I know you are indebted, but that attitude, that's what Krishna said to gopis. I can't repay your debt. So that's the reciprocation between devotees and Krishna. That is why devotees put efforts. They can't stop putting efforts. It's spontaneous. Their heart is afflicted by that sorrow. And the second point why they put efforts is, because you know why? Because Krishna is giving mercy, but mercy is like a child. It's like a baby. And you have to protect it. It can get destroyed. Material world, it's so dangerous. There's so many illusions, so many distractions. You have to protect that mercy. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, to carry that mercy, we have to put efforts. Control our mind, follow rules and regulations. It helps to nurture that mercy and carry that forward. If we don't follow rules and regulations, if we are not careful, if we are not attentive, we can spoil that mercy of Lord. He gives us such a precious gift, and because of foolishness, we spoil that. So that is the second point, we should put efforts. And the third point is, we should put efforts so that we don't fall into one trap of balkapat, Jiva Goswami says. Balkapat means hypocrisy. So there's a tendency to not become lazy in devotional service, isn't it? There's a tendency. You know what? When devotees are new, they are so enthusiastic. When I joined 20 years back, I was, for Mangal Aarti, I was there 2 o'clock in the temple. Everybody knows when we are all new, you know, like so enthusiastic. 2 o'clock, I'm a Mangal Arati. Before Mangal Arati, chanting finished and reading books and all those things. But as we advance means in quotations, as we advance, I don't know whether I'm advancing or not. That's another question. But as we advance, we become, there's a tendency to become loose. It's a tendency to become lax. Because we feel comfortable with Krishna. And that comfort with Krishna is a trap. That's a trap. We should remember. It's a blessing. At the same time, it can be a trap. If we are not careful. If we are not careful. So to protect ourselves from the trap of illusion of that comfort in the presence of Krishna, we must put efforts. We must keep on increasing our efforts. Every day, Srila Prabhupada says, every day our efforts should keep on increasing. Every day. Morning we should get up and we should think, okay, I did something for Krishna yesterday, I should do double today. Next day I should do triple. Then 4 times. And that's why devotee always keeps on endeavoring in devotional life. Until, I told you, until he meets Krishna face to face. That's what his life is for. So that's what Brahmaji says. And that is why Brahmaji says, Hit Vag Vapurvir Vidhan Namaste. He's talking about efforts. Along with mercy, devotee is applying efforts. What kind of efforts? By his heart, by his words, and by his body. Namaste, namaha means efforts. Namaha means obeisances. But here namaha means bhajan. That's what Acharya says. It's not simply like this. Namaha means not me. So Krishna, I don't live for myself, I live for you. For your service. And he is putting efforts by his heart. By his heart means he's planning in his mind how to serve Krishna. Srila Prabhupada says devotee always plans. We should plan. We should not just serve him, we should plan how to serve him. That's a pure devotee. What was the difference between Prabhupada and other devotees? His god brothers? His god brothers were serving Bhakti Siddhanta, but Prabhupada was planning. That was the difference. I'll go to the West, I'll do this, I'll do that. And that's what Krishna appreciates. He appreciates planning. So by his heart he serves Krishna. Heart means mind, intelligence, he plans. We should all plan. Life should be planned, otherwise we'll get lost in the world of Krishna consciousness. That's also possible, isn't it? Prabhupada said, don't be lost in the world of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said that. You should think of ahead. What should I do? How should I do? And why should I do?
Could you give an example of being lost in the world of Krishna consciousness?
Yeah, it's so easy. Devotees come, they serve. It's nice to do service. Devotees serve, chant, cooking, prasadam. That's good. But they don't plan ahead. They live in the present. But we should plan. Just like Krishna is planning for us, no? How should I purify him? He's already planned. I'll do this with him this year. Next year I'll do this thing. And third year I'll do this thing. And he'll get purified. He has planned everything. So we should also plan for him. Yathamam prabhante tam sathe bhajami. If we plan for him, he will plan for us. If we don't plan for him, he will not plan for us. Simple. Okay, you do your devotion, nice, I'll give you mercy, but I'll not plan. As you surrender, so shall you reap. So, and by words, devotees serve Krishna. How by words? By words, by glorifying him, by learning how to glorify him. Hare Krishna mantra is the best glorification, but then you have to learn how to glorify him. And that's what training is given by all the prayers and glorification in Bhagavatam. And then Vapurbhir, by body, a devotee glorifies Krishna. By body, by various services. That's okay. And then Brahmaji says, if you can do like this, if you can combine mercy and efforts, that's what I'm talking? Mercy and efforts, if you combine both, jiveda, and if you can live your life like that, your entire life without any pitfalls, without any lapses, if you can do that, yo mukti pade sadaya bhag. Mukti pade means you become rightful here for
Muktipade means, actually Muktipade means lotus feet. Mukti means liberation. So, you become liberated in the lotus feet of Lord. In other words, you are accepted by Krishna to serve Him 24 hours, 24 by 7. It's called in America 24 by 7. He will allow you to serve Him 24 hours. How? Now He is not allowing us to serve Him 24 hours. You know why? We are sleeping. We can't serve Him 24 hours. We are bound. Even if you want, you can't do that. You have to eat, you have to bath, you have to bathe. So, Krishna is not allowing us to serve Him 24 hours. We can't do that. But when Krishna is pleased, He will allow us to serve Him 24 hours. How? How? So quiz. How? How does He do that? By giving us spiritual body. You don't need to sleep in your spiritual body. That's the mercy of Lord. He gives us asarupa. And He says, okay, nice. You want to serve Me 24 hours? I'll give you spiritual body. And in that, no sleep, no hunger, nothing. You just serve Me. And that, by this we can understand, we can get spiritual body only when our desire to serve Him is intense. We want to serve Him 25 hours out of 24 hours. When a devotee, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, when a devotee, he is frustrated when he goes to sleep. At that point.
Prabhupada made that remark several times.
Yeah, Prabhupada said, yeah. Prabhupada said, Vishwanath Thakur says, when a devotee feels frustrated when he sleeps, when a devotee, when he wakes up, he feels absolute frustration that I wasted my 6 hours. When a devotee is taking prasad, he feels, well, I'm wasting time. This prasad, I'm honoring mercy of prasad, but I should be giving to Krishna. Not just taking from Him always. When this point of time, when this point comes in your life, you're ready for a spiritual body. You're ready. And then Krishna says, okay, come. Jivetam yo mukti pade. That's mukti pade. He'll give you your spiritual form. He'll make you his associate, parshad. That's the meaning. He'll make you, while you are living, you are liberated. This means you become associate of Lord. Krishna will accept you, okay. You are my associate. You can serve Me. There were so many associates of Mahaprabhu who didn't used to sleep. No sleeping. Gauridas Pandit. He didn't used to sleep. Just chanting. Dhananjay Pandit, he was not sleeping. He was just roaming in jungles. He was awake entire night, chanting Hare Krishna. And lions were sleeping. He used to catch hold of lions' ears and tell him, why are you sleeping? Chant Hare Krishna. What's happening, you know? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, they were like, they couldn't tolerate, you know, these animals are sleeping. I mean to say, you can't even imagine, you know, they couldn't tolerate animals are sleeping. Get up and chant Hare Krishna. They used to slap lions, and Nitin Prabhu used to go and catch alligators by tail. He did that, no? And to say, my God, you are wasting time. Chant Hare Krishna. Don't sleep. So that's the idea. You become liberated. You become associate of Lord. You have the ability to serve Lord 24 hours. Daya bhag means, you become rightful. You can say to Krishna, Krishna, you have to give Me love. You can say that. If you are sincere, if you are genuine, if you know within your heart, I have never cheated Krishna. I never cheated myself. I sincerely served Him. You can tell to Krishna, Krishna, you must give Me love. I demand that. You can demand love. That's what this verse is, Daya Bhak. Prabhupada says, you become rightful claim. You can demand love. And when you demand from Krishna, Krishna will be happy. Now if we demand, He will not be happy. By that time, if you demand, that demanding will give happiness to Krishna. And that's the idea of Vrindavan. Gopis demand Krishna. Krishna, you come to us. And Krishna is happy. Krishna never follows anybody's command, but to such a devotee who is following all these things, who is uniting mercy and efforts, to him, Krishna follows His order. and he gives, he'll give love. That's what Brahmaji is glorifying Krishna's mercy as in this verse. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Yeah, Mataji.
Question is, you were very affectionate. You were so affectionately saying about Rishi Krishna that he can't control himself.
Yeah.
That he has a problem controlling his own senses. Yet we understand that one of Krishna's main six opulences is supreme renunciation.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was hoping you could probably speak.
Okay, yeah, fine, fine. I understand, yeah. One of the, yeah, this is good, nice question. One of the main opulences of Krishna is a complete renunciation, yeah. So Sanatan Goswami explains that. Krishna has renounced his sense control. For the pleasure of his devotees. That's what his explanation. Okay. Krishna is genius. He's nice. Any other question? Okay. So, thank you for tolerating me. Hare Krishna. Thank you.